Welcome to my podcast subscribers. Thank you for being a part of this community. I'm excited to be offering this resource to you, and I hope and pray that it gives you insight and strategy on how to obtain some of your goals. This is not a replacement for seeing a licensed therapist, but rather a resource that provides you with tools, education, and strategy from a licensed therapist like myself. Don't forget, there is a link within each episode for you to submit questions for me to answer right here on this podcast. More than likely, other people in the community may have the same questions that you may have, and this gives me an opportunity to be able to share that knowledge with them as well. But don't worry, I will not share your name or information, just your questions. So don't forget to share and leave a review on this podcast on the platform of your choice. Again, thank you for being here, and I look forward to hearing from you. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the replay for those of you who will come on later. And so I know it's about 12:40 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I was supposed to go live at 12:30, about 10 minutes ago. But my stand that holds my cell phone for me to go live on Instagram actually just broke like 20 minutes ago. So I was trying to figure out, did some troubleshooting over here on my end, but I couldn't figure it out. So I had to go live on Instagram to let them know that I'll be going live over here on Facebook and also on YouTube. So welcome back to the replay. My name is Shakita Torres. I am a therapist. I'm God's mouthpiece. I'm here to share the word of the Lord that he has given me to share with you all today. I'm so excited about it. It's a great teaching. It blessed my little soul. And so before I get into today's teaching, you know, how I always do, I do want to say a prayer and also to give you guys a few announcements. And so, again, welcome back to the replay for those of you who will come back and watch this later. So my first announcement is this: if you're interested in becoming a certified Christian life coach, you can join my program. Enrollment is now open. It has been amazing thus far. We've had two times where we have met this past Monday and last Monday, and it's been amazing, okay? The program is at your own pace, okay? But we also have community, and we do meet to discuss the material, to hear what God is saying, to encourage each other, and all that good stuff. As you guys know, if you don't know this by now, all right, there's so much going on in the world, and the Lord needs us to be equipped, to be prepared for what is to come. And if God's calling you to be a life coach, this program is for you. So you can join for 24 hours, kind of get a feel for the community and the program to see if it's a good fit for you. All right. There is no ulterior motives over here. Okay. I have so much experience, so much knowledge, and things of that nature that I have learned through being a therapist and a life coach myself. I have my master's degree. I have so many certifications and training on how to counsel God's people through tools, through strategy, and also through the Holy Spirit. All right. So I know that I am equipped to train other people to be able to do the same exact thing. So if you feel drawn to this program, go to www.powerpurposeacademy.com to learn more, and you'll be able to read more about the program. If you have any questions, just feel free to send me a message up here, or send an email or support ticket on the website. The next thing is, I want to say thank you to everyone thus far who have purchased my newest book that came out called Unashamed. It is a book / workbook that's for the body of Christ to help us to become unashamed. Shame is a tool the enemy uses to try to keep us held a hostage and in bondage from doing what God has called us to do. And so God wants you to heal from shame. So this book is full of education, knowledge about the different types of shame, also tools and strategies, and the word of God. If you go to Amazon right now, you can click my name, put my name in, Shakita Torres. This book will come up. It's black. And you can click on it and read a little snippet of the book. And also someone I know posted a testimonial about how this book has blessed her. And she went back and bought another book to give to her son because it is a workbook. It's a workbook. So when you're reading through it, you have places to write, to take notes, to hear what God is saying to you, and to work through the shame, to get to the root of the shame. I have been doing a workshop on this on a private platform for about 2 or 3 months now, and it has also been absolutely amazing. The people have received so much breakthrough, and so this book will help you to receive breakthrough. All right, so thank you all again for purchasing this book. I hope it blesses you. Thank you so much. I just launched last month a Faith and Mental Wellness Directory. It is a directory that is people who are life coaches, therapists, pastoral counselors, addiction specialists. And if you want to join that, you fit this category and you believe in the Holy Spirit and you have these, you know, education, resources, certifications to help you to be able to treat God's people, this directory is for you. As of right now, you can join now for 90 days for free, no obligation, to see if it's a good fit for you. And so me and the Lord, and we're working on that, trying to get it out there, get it pushed out there, pushed out there. And the Lord told me, he said, I'm gonna make it grow. I'll make it grow. My job is to put it out there, be obedient. I'm create what he told me to create and let him do the rest. Okay. Of course I got work to do, but God's the one's going to breathe on it. So anywho, so today's teaching is all about season to season. Once again, before I get into today's teaching, I want to say a prayer. And so, Father, I just thank you right now, God, for just your word. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing now in this season, Lord. Help us, God, to be steadfast, to be grounded, to be rooted in you and rooted in your word. Father, I thank you, God, for those who are watching now and for those who will come back and watch the replay later. I know this word will bless them tremendously and give them clarity about what season they are in. And so, Holy Spirit, I surrender myself to you, my mind, my heart, my spirit, my mouth, whatever you want me to say, whatever you highlight to me, God, Holy Spirit, I will say it, Lord. So, God, we love you and we honor you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. And so this is actually, I think this is part 5 of Seize the Season. And you guys, this God never truly ceases to amaze me at the things that he showed me and he bring to my attention as I'm reading his word and as I pursue him to get clarity, to get insight onto what he would have me to teach. And so I had mentioned last week that the Lord had already showed me what the next teaching would be today. And today's teaching is all about reconciliation. Reconciliation, okay? And he gave me specific word from scripture to be able to teach. And as always, I'll also be sharing my experience as well when it comes to each of these seasons. Initially, I thought it would be maybe about 5, but no, it's at least 10 that God has given me thus far to teach on to help bring people clarity. And also what I realized what God is doing too through this series is that, you know, this is just not for now, but it's even for the people that's going to give their life to Christ. Okay. They're going to be new sheep, new people who are going to be, you know, converting from whatever religion they are part of. And they're going to need clarity about their walk with God and what that looks like. Right. And so this series alone was going to help them to have so much clarity about their walk with God. Okay. And so let me go ahead and get to today's message. And so, of course, in part 1, I shared about the infant stage. I explained what the word seize actually mean. Seize means to catch, snatch, appropriate, clasp, clench, clutch, compass, take control, master, dominate, and to have control. And so what's happening is, you know, and I'm guilty of this myself, whenever we don't really fully understand our season, we can become frustrated and we can be aggravated with God because we're like, God, what's going on? I don't understand what you're doing. And so Seize the Season is going to be a series to teach you on how to navigate certain parts of your life. And you can definitely be in multiple seasons at the same time. Like God can be training you, but testing you, but also pruning you at the same exact time. And so each season is interchangeable. But also the Lord showed me too that along the way, for the most part, each season will be compared to a tree. Okay. And so today the Lord didn't really highlight anything to me in reference to today's teaching being related to a tree. So I don't know. He might give it to me today. So Holy Spirit, you just have your way. And so here is the definition of reconciliation. It is the act of causing two people or groups to become friendly again after an argument or a disagreement. Okay, here are some synonyms of reconciliation: harmony, resolution, settlement, agreement, accord, consensus, compromise, understanding, amity, report, convergence, reunion, mediation, restoration, and balance. All right. And so here it says these words represent various aspects of coming together, resolving differences, or achieving mutual understanding between individuals or parties. Okay. And so please keep in mind, there's a point, a nugget. Reconciliation does require forgiveness. Otherwise, how can you truly reconcile with someone? This is a season where you extend forgiveness and you ask for forgiveness. Okay. And so today I'll also be sharing again, once again, scripture and also my testimony about reconciliation. All right. They kind of give you some examples and context as to how this apply can apply to you. And so the first thing I'm gonna do is share my testimony. So I remember this was like when I was in college. It was me, I had a friend, she and I was super close. We was very, very close, and everybody on the campus, they knew. They knew. And I loved her, and I knew for a fact that she loved me. Well, we had decided to come together to get, an apartment. Not apartment, but I think I actually ended up renting a house. Renting a house. And so something happened with the house, nothing that I did, nothing that she did. It was actually the landlord was like not doing things right. And she told me she was moving, to be honest, you guys, but she didn't tell me when she wasn't going to move out. And you guys, like, I had came home and went home for the weekend. And by the time I came back that Monday, from that Friday to Monday, like, she was gone. She had like moved everything out. She had moved out. And you guys, I was completely devastated because I'm like, how you just gonna up and leave? You told me you were leaving, but you didn't give me any time frame. You didn't give me a warning. Now I'm stuck here having to pay this rent. It was a lot. It was just a hot mess. At this time, how old am I? Lord, probably about what, 19? Yeah, probably about 19, 20 years old at this point. And so, we were young. We were young. And, I kept talking to her. Like, I was like, I'm done. I was so hurt. And so it was so evident that she and I weren't talking, that we had other people trying to like help us to like reconcile. I didn't want to talk to her. I had nothing to say. And I was definitely being immature for sure. And so, time went on and then that became the norm for us. We didn't speak to each other. I would see her. She wouldn't speak to me, but I knew she was hurt. I could see the hurt on her face. She and I both were hurt. We had a very close relationship with each other. And so as time went on, at this time, I'm not a believer, by the way. I knew that God existed. I believe in God, but I wasn't, actively walking out, my salvation in a sense. Okay. And so I remember, gave my life to Christ wholeheartedly, back in 08. That was a whole experience all by itself. Like I talked about that before on previous podcast episodes. But what happened was, okay, I went through a season of the infant phase, right? Then the Lord began to prune me. Then the Lord began to start to heal me. Okay. Then I went into the testing. And then I went into this season here, which is called reconciliation. Okay. And so I remember when I was in Georgia during this time, the Lord was like beginning to give me dreams about certain people who had hurt me, people who had disappointed me. And she was one of those people. And the Lord had shown me in a dream that like a boat was coming, like kind of like the end time, like the world was ending, okay? And people were getting on the boat to be rescued, but I couldn't get on the boat. And I was like, what is going on? Like, why can't I get on the boat? Okay. And so when I woke up, the Lord was, I began to pursue God. My God, what are you showing me? He was like, there's people that you need to forgive, that you need to reconcile with. And reconcile doesn't mean that you and that person are going to be best friends again or be in this like deep relationship, but it needs to be an exchange of conversation to get clarity, to get understanding, to forgive each other, to like let the past be in the past, right? So both parties can actually be friends again or they can actually like just move on, okay? And so I began to write down these people that came to my heart and to my mind. And she was one of those people. And so I ended up writing a letter out, and I actually found her on Facebook, and I sent her a message, and I said, "I'm so sorry. I apologize for how I acted." I said, "During that time of my life, I had no idea how to communicate with you. I was so hurt and in my feelings, and I apologize to you for just like, stopping, talking to you altogether." And she sent me email back telling me, "Thank you so much for sending me this email. And this message on Messenger, it meant a lot to me." But she and I weren't friends anymore. Like we had reconciled, but we were not going to be like best like buddies again, because that season had passed. Here it is, years and years later, she's in a whole different, walk with her life, and I am too. And also for me, what the Lord was showing me as well, he began to show me things about her. Okay, because I have dreams and visions a lot about people, situations, myself, and all of the above, right? What's to come and all that good stuff. And so God began to show me things about her to minister to her. And so God used me for her, and she was able to receive it because I had took out time to reconcile what had happened many years ago. And again, she was thankful for me sending her what God had for her, because it helped steer the course of her life to another direction. Because she was about to make a really bad decision that would have cost her so many years of her life. Okay. So anyway, it was her, it was a few family members, and the Lord showed me. He said some of them are not going to receive it. I had one family member where I didn't necessarily do anything to her. Okay. She was like coming from me. She had hurt me time and time and time again. And the Lord was like, "Write her actually a letter. Write her a letter. She's not going to really receive it, but I need for your heart to be clear. I need for your conscience to be clear." And so I did, knowing that she wasn't going to receive it. And so I went ahead and I wrote a letter to her. I'm like, "Hey, I'm hurt. I was hurt because of XYZ." I explained, how she hurt me. Then I put and I was like, "Listen, I love you. I care about you. And I know that you're probably hurt for whatever reason. And so if you're hurt for whatever reasons, I apologize to you as well, even though I knew I hadn't didn't do anything wrong." So still, once again, even to this day, we try to like have a friendship relationship, and it just never work out because she cannot keep her mouth off of me. Okay. So, I had to, move on. You have to move on. And so reconciliation doesn't mean that you're going to be like best buddies again with these people, but it's for your heart to be clear, number one. And then also what God was showing me was that some things that happened for sure is definitely the enemy trying to come in and interject himself, because there is purpose in their relationship. And so today's teaching, I'm going to share with you all what God gave me examples of about the story of Joseph. Okay, me and you guys know, he ever heard a story about Joseph and his many coats? Like we hear all the colors and how he's anointed. And Joseph was a very sweet person. Like when I'm reading scripture, I'm like, man, Joseph is awesome. Like he is truly the definition of how we should respond whenever we're under pressure, whenever people are coming against us through persecution, through rejection, and all that. Joseph is the goat for me. Okay. So, of course, the Word of God does not record every detail of his life, but what we do have about him, for the most part, to me, I've seen is nothing but it's been good, right? And we all fall short. And I'm sure he feels short, but God favored him so much, y'all. God favored him so much. And so, if you look at, let me see, go through my scriptures. Okay, so the story of Joseph began in Genesis chapter 39. Okay, and so Joseph was captured. He was sold into slavery because his brothers, was jealous of him because of the dreams he had, and he was sold to Potiphar. Okay, and so he was there. He was serving. Potiphar trusted him, and Potiphar's wife became attracted to Joseph. Okay. He was very handsome. He was very anointed. He was a man of stature, a man of good character, and very noble. And she tried her best to like sleep with him. And he was like, "No, ma'am, I'm not doing that. Potiphar, trust me, right? We can't do this." And so she was so angry because she was rejected that she lied on him. She lied and told her husband, "Hey, he tried to come here and put me to shame, right? Meaning try to come and take advantage of her and sleep with her." Okay. And so Potiphar believed her. Like, obviously, he didn't have discernment. when it comes to his wife and the things that she did or said or whatever, and he put him into prison. Okay. So in this season, Joseph is entering into refining and training while he was in prison for 2 years. And while he was there for 2 years, God still favored him and granted him and gave him showed him kindness, and he was able to be like the head charge over all the guards. How you get sent to prison for for something like that, right? But then you're put, over all the guards, okay? That's in Genesis chapter 39, verse 21. It says here, so the warden put Joseph in charge of all the those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Favor, my God, favor. Okay. Uh-oh, what happened? Okay. I'm looking at my tablet, you guys. And so in this case, this is what the Lord was like showing me, right? He said, in this case, the Lord said this to me while I was studying. Some of my people have damaged relationships because of other people's lives. He said, who lied on you? Okay. The person that you were in relationship with did not have enough discernment to know that they were lying on you. And I put here, I have definitely experienced this before where, you can be in relationship with someone and for whatever reason, their people can get envious of you or envious of the relationship, and they can lie and cause division between you and that person, okay? Because Potiphar and him had purpose together. They did, him and Joseph. So I can only imagine how Joseph felt, like betrayed, like God, what's going on? Like I would have been crying, okay? I would have been bawling. And God said, remember, in his eyes, everything has a purpose, and God will turn everything around for your good, and nothing that was de that was detoured or delayed will be wasted. Romans 8 and 28 says this, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Do you not think that the Lord knew, Potiphar's wife's heart? Right? Do you not think that the Lord knew what she was capable of? And so God allowed it to happen because it sent him into, a different direction. But even in that, he was still being trained. He was still being refined. He was also still being tested. Okay. As you can see from previous lives I've did so far on this particular series, there's different seasons, right? And so in this right here, he experienced so many different types of seasons. He was being tested, he was being pruned, he was being trained, he was being refined, and all those good things. Okay. And so remember whenever Joseph was in the in prison, right? He was able to interpret the cupbearer dream. And so the cupbearer had told Joseph that, hey, I would not forget you, whenever I'm released from prison. But he did forget Joseph, okay? But Pharaoh began to have dreams that God was giving him. He had no idea what the dreams mean. This was some time, like some years passed by again. And the cupbearer remembered, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't tell you that Joseph was the one that revealed, certain dreams to me. God gave him the interpretation of of my dreams because the magicians could not interpret Pharaoh's dreams. And Pharaoh was becoming very angry. So they went and they fetched Joseph. And Joseph came and he gave Pharaoh the interpretation of his dream. Okay. So it says here, this is so good. This is what God pointed out to me too as well. Genesis, this is verse 14. This is chapter 39, I believe. Don't quote me on that. Okay, I didn't write the chapter down. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. And so the Lord said here, this is the season when it's time for you to change clothes, y'all. Like changing clothes, for me, I've had dreams of me changing clothes throughout my life, throughout my journey with God. And what that means is that you're changing into a new season. God wants to take you into a new season, right? But there are some things that need to be done right here in order for you to get to the next season. And so here, what we said, Joseph told him the dream, told him what it mean. And so fast forward to verse 37, the plan seemed good. He gave Pharaoh a plan saying, hey, if we do X, if we do Y, if we do Z to prepare for the famine and we do these different things, so when the famine comes, we're prepared for it. And so Pharaoh said, oh my God, this is amazing. This man came in here and just like gave me the whole dream interpretation and he gave me strategy. Okay. Joseph gave Pharaoh strategy. And so he said to Joseph, so the plan seemed good to him. So Pharaoh asked Joseph, can we find someone like this man who one who is one in whom is the spirit of God? He recognized that the spirit of God worked heavily in Joseph. And so he told Joseph, so since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall oversee my entire palace and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So pretty much he was like, Pharaoh said, I'm here, Joseph. And he's like, you know what? You're my right-hand man. Joseph became the right-hand man. So many of us, we want to like reach this pinnacle, right? In our ministry, in our jobs, in our career. But it's just so many different things that the God want to take you through for learning and refining of your character, refining of how you lead people, you know, imparting wisdom in you and so much more. And so, yeah, it's a whole teaching by itself. But yeah, so Joseph became Pharaoh's right-hand man. Okay. All right. So yeah, if you keep reading on from verse 36 on down, it's so detailed as to the responsibility and even the wealth and even the control that Pharaoh had given Joseph. Okay. So I put here, trust was restored and Joseph embarked into a new season. So when God is leading you to reconcile with someone, it is for a purpose. Lay down your pride and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, Joseph could have been like, oh no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to share nothing, you know, with him. I'm just going to like stay here and do, you know, keep leading the people in the guard in prison. But he followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So when God is calling you to reconcile with someone, be obedient, okay? You don't know fully what it is that God wants to do in your life once you do that, okay? So follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, not your own, not what everybody else is saying, but what is God saying to you about reconciling with people? So that's one example of reconciliation, right? It was a journey. It took time. There was time in between, right? It was purpose in the relationship. So the next one here I'm going to go over really quickly is the story about Joseph's brothers. As you know, his brothers sold him into slavery. But even in that, there was purpose. God has showed Joseph clearly that his brothers would like bow down to him and they will worship him and all that, right? And so if you fast forward to Genesis chapter 42, okay, it says here, Jacob realized there was, this is Jacob is Joseph's father. Okay, so here we are. This is Jacob talking to his sons, his 11 sons at this point. He said, Jacob realized there was grain in Egypt and he sent his 10 sons there to inquire about buying grain. And so here we are for those 7 years, they stored up so much food in Egypt because Joseph had that dream, right? And Joseph was able to tell them and lead them on what to do. And so now here we are after the 7 years, it's famine. There's a famine. And so the land of Canaan, where Jacob was with his sons, they lacked food. They didn't have much food. So Jacob sent the sons, only 10 now, except for Benjamin, over into Egypt to go buy some grain because he had heard, oh my God, Egypt has food. Egypt, they're listen, they're doing great. Go buy food from them. Okay. So whenever the brothers come and they actually meet Joseph, they didn't recognize him, y'all. He was unrecognizable. He had changed so much. He had matured so much to the point where they didn't recognize him. They thought he was dead. Okay. And so here is what the lesson is at, right? 14, 15. And the Lord told me this. He said, for some of you, People who have hurt you will try and reconcile with you, but you have to test them. You can't just let them walk back into your life and they can have that spot they had before. They must be truly repentive and they must be, show remorse for what they have done to you. Okay. And so here, Joseph goes into testing. He begins to test his brothers. He tested his father. Y'all, I was reading through. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, God won't play no games, okay? He wanted to make sure that they were ready to receive Joseph, and that like they were, remorseful for what they did, and they were. And so, this is what God showed me once again. He gave me another memory that I had. I'm gonna go into the story in just a moment. So I remember my family and I have had, history of being a part of different churches, and it was for a reason and for a purpose. And so one church in particular I was at, we had developed some friendships there. And I knew that once we left, because things there were not in order, they weren't ready to receive the truth or walk away. Well, it was one person in particular I remember. She knew the truth. She knew, but she was so attached to, our leader during that time that she wasn't really quite ready to walk away. And so at this time in my life, at that point, I wasn't surprised. I wasn't shocked. It wasn't my first time going through something like that, right? It was a part of me and my family's like training. Okay. And so we left. I didn't hear nothing else from her. And the reason why God highlighted her to me, because my family and I have poured so much into her. We have poured so much into her, so much wisdom, so much knowledge, just like took her in and just like loved on her. And she really needed that. But the leader that we had at the time was like taking advantage of her. And I didn't know that initially, but I began to spend time with her. I'm like, oh my God, she's a whole like Jezebel spirit. Okay. Anywho. So long story short, we ended up leaving the ministry, and the girl that we were close to, we didn't talk to her, right? So some time went by, and I had this dream that God showed me that she was trying to contact me, okay? But she was afraid to reach out to me because she thought I was mad with her. I wasn't mad with her, okay? I knew that she was operating in the spirit of deception. I knew that. So I said, God, well, what you want me to do? He said, reach out to her. So I went to Facebook, found her on Facebook. I said, hey, I was like, how are you doing? Like, what's going on with you? She said, oh my gosh, Akita, thank you so much for reaching out to me. I've been thinking about y'all so much lately. I miss you guys. She was like, I wanted to reach out, but I thought y'all was mad with me. I said, girl, we're not mad with you. We just knew that you were in a season where you weren't ready to really like face the truth. And so, if you talk on the phone, she and I talked on the phone, you guys. And the purpose for our relationship was to help pull her out of the spirit of deception, to help pull her out of being under Jezebel's spell, pretty much. And so we talked on the phone, and she told me, she's like, yeah, I left the ministry, for a season. They kept harassing me, coming to my house unexpected. I had to move. She had to move out at nighttime to prevent them from knowing that she was moving. It was crazy. I'm talking about stalkerish behaviors, okay? Ooh, it was so crazy. So she told me, she said, yeah, but she would text me every once in a while, and I won't respond. And she said, but I do love her and I do miss her, because this person played a very intricate role in her life. Okay. So long story short, in that I ended up having another dream that me and this young lady were like together, and the leader was trying to like conjure us back to her. And I already knew what it was. I'm like, oh no. Oh no, Jezebel, you got the wrong one. I ain't the one, baby. I am not the one. And I began to just go into prayer and just pray. I'm like, Lord, I pray you break the spell off of her, because in my dream, I was like, I'm not going nowhere. I was like, I like repelled it. Okay. But she was being like caught up in the whirlwind again. And so when I talked to her, she was just like, Shakita, she keep like calling me and she's texting me again and she's trying to like come back in my life. And I'm like, girl, you better be careful. I said, you better get in your word. I said, you got to get in a strong community, because she is trying to bring you back to her. Right. I didn't tell her my whole entire dream. And it's interesting. I'm like, the enemy is so crafty, you guys. There was no one that really knew what was going on but God and the enemy, for the most part, and my husband. Okay. And so for that to start happening in the middle of she and I trying to like come together and reconcile the relationship, now all of a sudden here it comes again, trying to conjure her back up. That was so crazy to me. But we already know the enemy is crafty. And so long story short, right, we had planned for her, planned to meet up for like lunch. And I kept calling her and texting her, trying to say, "Hey, are we still meeting for lunch? You know, tomorrow, you know." And she was, and so I didn't hear anything else from her. Nothing, nothing, y'all. And to this day, I still haven't heard nothing from her. And I said, "My God," I said, and she didn't got a hold of this girl all over again. My God. And so at this point, all I could do was just pray for her. I feel bad for her because, like, she, you know, wasn't strong enough to really stand on her own from this spirit, you know. And so there's purpose behind reconciliation. It's purpose behind it. It's so much, and depending on the situation, the relationship, it can be something small or something major. I believe once again for her is for her to break, like, completely break free from the spirit. But those of you like Jacob, right? It was like between him and Pharaoh. God was calling Pharaoh. I'm calling Jacob to lead. He wanted him to lead his people. He wanted his heart to be pure. Maybe God wants you to forgive, right? It's so many different things. So you're gonna have to sit before the Lord, and you're gonna have to ask him, God, like, what do you want me to do about this relationship? There's friendships I've had before, even in the past, that I had to break from. And it doesn't feel good and it's not fun. But God is like, okay, there will be a season of reconciliation. And I will let you know, when that's time. I'll let you know. And he's never failed me in that area. He always let me know. And so back again, back to the story with Jacob. And so what God was showing me that sometimes people will reach out to you and you might be kind of like, I don't know, Lord. Like, you know, I love them, I care about them, I want to have a relationship with them, but I'm not sure if I can really trust them. And so Joseph spent a great deal of time, almost like two or three chapters in this book in Genesis, testing his brothers. He tested them. So I'm gonna go to scripture, you guys, and kind of give you what it looks like. Okay. So if you go to Genesis chapter 42, you can see, you know, back again when Jacob sent his sons to go meet for meet to ask for to buy food, buy grain. And so initially, Joseph was like, "Listen, you guys are spies. You guys came here to, like, you know, spy on our land and see what we have, so you can steal from us." They're like, no, sir, that's not the case. That's not the case." And so Joseph ended up taking one of the brothers and he put him in jail. He said, "You know, here's some stuff for you guys to take back." He said, "Don't come back here until you bring back your brother Benjamin," because he began to question him about his, you know, their family, you know, his father, who he was, and all that good stuff, right? He was testing them to see if they would, like, tell him the truth. Okay, so they did. Thank God they did. So then they went and went back to their dad, and they told him, "Hey, we can't go back and get more food or whatever unless we bring back Benjamin, the youngest son that was born before Joseph." And their father Jacob was like distraught. He was like, "No, I can't let my son die. He's the baby, you know, I love him," and stuff. You know, he was just emotional. He was a wreck. So they kept delaying and delaying and delaying. I remember reading in the scripture, when the brother said, "But dad, like, by the time we sit here and figure out what to do, we could have went back to Egypt twice and took our brother there and made sure we did things the right way and bring him right back to you." Right. So long story short, after some time, they end up going back. Right. And then again, they got tested again. Joseph put, like, one of his some silver in their bag. He put they had a feast with them and all that good stuff. And he ended up taking a cup and putting the cup in one of their bags. And they went back. It was just a lot, y'all. Like, I cannot, like, it'll be another 30 minutes here trying to, like, teach you guys all this. But if you go to Genesis chapter 42, you can read where it talks about the time. You can see the testing, the test that Joseph had to give him. And here's the thing, y'all, each time Joseph cried. Okay, so here's the thing, right? When you're trying to, like, figure out what to do with somebody, right, it's emotional. It's because, like, you love them, right? And Joseph loved his family. He missed them tremendously. So we can miss relationships, right? And so I know that God was leading him on testing him. And I'm sure he won't say, "Hey, you guys, I'm Joseph. I'm Joseph. I love y'all. I'm your brother. I'm your long lost brother." But he couldn't do that yet without testing to make sure they was ready for the next that God had even for them, because they had purpose too. And so God was also testing his brothers, testing their heart to see if they were remorseful. And so even when people are coming to you, you know, okay, God, I desire to reconcile with them, but God, show me what to do. Show me how I can test a relationship to see if they are, you know, really mean me well, or are they coming back to me because they want something from me. Right. And whenever you're emotional, it can be hard to like determine that. And as you can see, when you read scripture, Joseph was very emotional about his brothers being back. Okay. Hey, you guys, I am back. Oh my goodness. My computer just died completely. So I was trying to come over here and troubleshoot. Right. It was getting so good. Let me fix my camera. So I had to charge it up a little bit. So whew, and I was almost done too. So sorry about that. Let me make sure my camera is good to go. It's still not got me, it had me centered. Okay. All righty. And so I know where I stopped at. And so I'm going to go back to that particular scripture. But again, sorry for what happened. Thank you so much, brother. Yeah, what happened? Lost your yes, everything just shut down on me. Eric put, let me see, the word was good as always, relating to the story and his humanity and how he dealt with his brothers. I watched the playback. Yes, it was so good, you guys. And so I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna share the scripture that I wanted to read to you guys about Joseph and his response to his brothers. And so I'm pretty sure it was really hard for Joseph to not just say, you know, here I am, I'm your brother. But he had to wait. He had to wait and continue to test them, and he had to wait on the Lord. And so here's what he said to them after, because at this point, you know, their dad had came, Jacob had came. They had it was so much that happened, you guys. So if you get a chance, go back and read that. But we look at Genesis chapter 45 and verse 4. It says here, then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near me." And they came near. He said, "I am Joseph, your brother." He said, "The one you sold into Egypt, and now don't be grieved or angry with yourselves for selling me here, because God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there will be 5 more years without plowing or harvesting. God sent me ahead of you to establish you as a remnant within the land and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler over all the land of Egypt." He said, "Return quickly to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says: God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me without delay. You can settle in the land of Goshen and be near me, you, your children, and your grandchildren, your flocks, your herds, and all you have. There I will sustain you, for there will be 5 more years of famine. Otherwise, you, your household, and everything you will become destitute. Look, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin can see that I'm the one speaking to you. Tell my father about all my glory in Egypt and all about and everything you have seen, and bring my father to me quickly." And so they did that. They obeyed. They was happy. They was rejoiceful and all that. But he had to be sure they were ready. He had to be sure that they were willing, and they had been you know, remorseful for what they had did wrong. So they were being tested. And so I know here this is a very elaborate story, right, about Joseph. But once again, it can be even the small things that God will want to reconcile when it comes to relationship. But it has to be done in God's timing, and it's dependent on the other person and their reactions to you, and vice versa, right? Maybe you've hurt somebody and you desire to reconcile with them, but you got to make sure that you approach the situation appropriately, right? Understand that there will be work to be done. There's testing. You do have to confess. Like they even confessed. Like they even said, you know, "Listen, brothers, we done messed up. Okay, we didn't sold our brothers into, you know, so, you know, we didn't sold him. He's not here anymore." They were very remorseful. And repent, and they repented for what they had done wrong. And so, the Lord wanted me to share with you all and reiterate this, is that, you know, He will call you into a season of reconciliation with friendships, but it does not mean that it's going to be the exact same. It does not mean that you have to be close with them, but it is very dependent on people's decisions. What I've learned over the years about relationships, I've had friendships where God has called us to be in relationship with each other and purpose in it. But if that person or even myself is not, you know, in line with the purpose that God has, it can be forfeited. Prophecy is conditional. Most prophecy is, meaning if you do this, then this will happen. If you do that, then that will happen. It is not, you know, set in stone. It's not set in stone. But just imagine if Joseph would have, you know, did the opposite of what he had done throughout his journey of testing, right? It would have derailed him in so many different ways, and it could have really ruined what it was that God was trying to do. So it's based off of decisions and obedience, decisions and obedience. And so I oftentimes find people who may feel guilty or may be made to feel guilty because they have decided not to be in relationship with someone for whatever reason, right? And so once again, you have to go to the Lord and ask the Lord, okay, is this friendship supposed to be reconciled? And if it is, Lord, show me what I should do. Show me what I should not do. Right. I had a lady I had met maybe a couple of weeks ago. And she was just sharing with me her story about a friend that she had. It was very close to each other. And the girl got caught up into this web of other people who was gossiping online about their relationship. And it caused them to like stop being friends. And so she said that a girl came back and she apologized, but she wasn't really making it known there was like friends again. And she said, Shakita, I kept asking God why, you know, we're talking, we're friends, but, you know, she don't like anything on my Facebook page. She doesn't like comment or anything. You know, I don't understand. And the Lord shared with her, he said, because she still, you know, she has talked about you so badly with these people to like, she don't want them to know that y'all are talking now because she doesn't want, you know, don't want to look bad. Okay. And I'm like, that is so messed up, right? If she wants to be in relationship with you, she's going to have to let some things die. But there's some things that we have to let die in order for us to press forward in reconciliation, all right, at its fullest extent, okay? So thank you guys so much for coming back on and joining me. Thank you, Brother Hupud. Only in God's time and can we make sure the other person is ready. Exactly. Be remorseful and repent in order for you to reconcile. So yes, yeah, that is so true, brother. And so what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and say a prayer. And then I'll end today's live. Sorry again about the disconnection that happened. Hopefully, I think it still stayed black. So I have to go in. I probably edit it a little bit to make sure it's not a long lapse. So you have to keep, you know, watching the black screen. And so, Father, I just thank you right now for your word. I thank you, Lord God, for just giving us revelation and understanding and insight into what it means to reconcile with people, with friendships, Lord God. Help us, God, to have wisdom. Help us, God, to have discernment. Help us, Holy Spirit, to lean into your voice and what we should and what we should not do. Holy Spirit, help us to not be anxious for anything. Help us, God, to slow down. I know sometimes we can become excited and ready to make, you know, friendships, you know, blossom and bloom again. But it takes time, Father, to build trust, to rebuild the trust with people who have offended us and those we have offended. And so, Father, I just thank you for your word today. I thank you for this time. I release a blessing upon your people, God, that they will take this word and they will apply and even teach it to other people. And so, God, I just love you and I honor you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. So, yes, thank you guys so much for watching. Next week, I should be live again. I'm not sure yet what the next one will be, but I will definitely let you guys know. And I'll talk to you guys soon. Thank y'all so much. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Noel. See you guys soon. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. Our prayer is that this podcast episode has blessed you. Don't forget to go and subscribe and leave us a raving review. If you would like to sow into this ministry or to this podcast, Pain, Passion, and Purpose, you can do so at anchor.fm/Pain, Passion, and Purpose or Cash App $Shakita Torres. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you next time.